You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Clip-clop goes the trail, sun is rising high. Two gals in the saddle, neath the big Nevada sky. Laughing and chatting as the desert rolls on by. It's saddle talk, come along for the ride.
Welcome, listeners, to Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara. Whether you're here to laugh with us, learn, or just ride along, you're in for a really good time. So go grab your helmet or your pooper scooper and settle in with us as we discuss life, horses, of course, and all the unexpected turns along the trail. And hey, whether you're a seasoned cowgirl or you're still learning, remember, we're sharing our own stories and opinions based on decades of personal experience. Always ride safe and check with a professional before trying anything new. Now let's go ride.
Hey, Kara.
What up, Sandy?
Guess what I did?
What?
I got a new horse. I've been wanting to say that so much. I got a new horse.
Every child's dream.
And I love her. She's a Barbie horse.
She is a Barbie horse. But I think what I meant to say is like every menopausal and perimenopausal woman's dream.
Yay.
Tell us about her. What's her name? How'd you get her?
Well, I got her because of you. Previous farrier reached out because he had fallen on some hard times and did the right thing and tried to find a proper home for her. And he named his horse Scarlet.
Which makes sense.
As in, gone with the wind. And I get that. I didn't understand at first, but then I got it. It was so funny. I had this like poof in my brain.
I thought she'd be, honestly, I thought she was going to be a chestnut mare when he told me his horse's name was Scarlet.
Yeah.
I had no idea she was going to be the Palomino from Barbie's Playland.
Beautiful Palomino.
With blonde hair.
Yes, yes. And he told us that she's green broke. Now, in my mind, which I honestly don't know a lot. I mean, I know enough. I'm not putting myself down. Green broke, from what I understand, means they've had a lot of groundwork done, mm-hmm. right? Whatever the groundwork is, right? I'm not saying it had to be all the steps of Pirelli or all the steps of Clinton Anderson. Just groundwork.
Theoretically, groundwork would be done.
Had a saddle. Maybe a couple rides. That's green broke.
And comfortable with said rider.
And comfortable with just stuff in general. Grooming, picking up feet, being caught, right? And I was on vacation and you knew I was on vacation. And I knew it had to be serious when you called. When I saw your name on my phone, I was...
Well, we spent so much time together.
Right.
I wanted to give you a break.
Oh,
so I've actually given you a break to hang out with other people besides me. And then when I found this out, he actually offered the horse to me first. And I knew that I didn't have space or bandwidth.
Like you had space, but you didn't have
space.
Armani takes up a lot of energy.
Yeah.
So
he's the dragon.
So
I definitely don't have bandwidth for him. But in the back of my mind, like you and I are one unit.
Right. Right.
So I convinced him that I was going to take it in. And when I say me, I meant us.
Yeah.
I think it happens all the time in the horse world where you are in a sticky situation and you have to get rid of a horse. Uh-huh. And so I completely felt for him. And him and I sort of bonded on that. And I tried to repeat over and over to him.
Yeah.
That just, you know, I've been in these shoes. I've had to give up a horse for free. You're not alone. And sadly, I think that just happens when you're in the horse world is you have those times when you either have to give up a horse or you have to get someone else's horse. And I was mentally prepared to take that animal on if you weren't going to say yes.
Right.
But I knew you were going to say yes.
Right. Well, and so we went to pick her up on February 14th.
Yeah.
Which was very cool. It was a sign. And I didn't know at the time that she was hard to catch. But when I got there, he said, she's hard to catch. And then I remember reaching out to you and you're like, oh, yeah, he said she's hard to catch. But I didn't realize he was already there. She was already caught. And I wanted to put her in the brown pen and just kind of see what I was dealing with. And after 30 minutes of her just racing around the round pen and me thinking I'm Monty Roberts and I've watched so many of his recordings, I was going to make her join up with me within 20 minutes. And that did not happen. He decided to come in and help me. Mm. And the way that I watched him catch her was fine. It was very natural horsemanship type. And he would walk up to her sideways, no eye contact, and reached his hand up underneath her head. And then
sort of non-threatening.
He didn't even look at her. And the whole time, now that I look back on that situation, the whole time her head is high, she's still on alert. And he's invading her bubble. I can say all this now because I recognize it.
Now you know her.
Yeah. He was invading her bubble and not giving her the chance to relax and accept him in her bubble.
Right. And her build up a tolerance and
right.
understanding.
Yes. So he caught her, brought her to me. Michael was sure we were not getting her in the trailer. And I said, take that negative energy away from me right now. We walked over to the trailer. I stepped up inside and she came towards the trailer. She wasn't getting in right away. I handed her some hay and I had the good stuff. I had the alfalfa and she took a bite. I got her two legs on and she backed off and I let her. And Michael, of course, because he's such the pessimist, was saying, this isn't going to work. And I gave her another bite and I gave her just the slightest tug of pressure. She hopped right up into that trailer, went right to her food. I was like, Michael, okay, grab the door. So I closed the panel. Everything was great. We get home. It was about an hour ride home. So we get home and together, Mike and I worked very well together. I was very surprised that day. We opened it. I undid the thing. And I was letting her walk out. I am an advocate for backing your horse out when your horse knows how to back out.
Right.
I wasn't fighting this one.
You can't follow all the dumb rules. I mean, all the good rules. You can't follow all the rules all the time.
Correct. You have to know the rules in order to know when to break them.
Yes.
When to break. Very important them. Yes. So as Michael was opening the panel, I was holding the rope and I let her out. And she was perfect. So I took her into her stall. I undid her rope halter and I couldn't catch her for a week. I couldn't touch her. I couldn't touch her.
Oh, yeah. And I was gone that whole week.
And then it snowed.
It really snowed.
Yeah. So I was really bummed. I thought this is never going to work.
Aw.
But then I remembered that I cannot compare my chapter one to somebody else's chapter 10.
Absolutely.
And I need to just give myself some grace. It's just my new word. I promise not to overuse it. And after the snow melted, I started to put in the work. And I work remotely, which is a blessing. And I would take a break. And it forces me to take a break from work and my computer.
Right.
And I will go out there. And I was working with her 15 minutes, at least 5-6 times a day. And I was, it took me about a week to catch her. Now I can catch her, no problem. And then I realized that I needed to work on zone one. Okay, so in Pirelli, there are 5 zones. Zone one is the head. Zone two is the drive line, like the neck to the withers. Zone three is where we sit and ride. Zone four is the hip and withers back end, and zone five is the tail.
Yeah, I'm totally impressed right now because I do not know the name of the zones.
You didn't?
No.
Oh my God, I am a good student. I am a very good student. So those are the zones.
Okay.
So you're the teacher. I'm a student, right? So so when Jessica came to watch, she identified it immediately. And as I was walking up to her, she recognized how she throws her head up and she said, stop right there. Put your hand on her withers and her head would go up. And she said, just hold your hand there and wait till she relaxes. And I looked for the signs of relaxation. And then as she relaxed, I'd move my hand up. I know nobody can see what I'm doing, but my hand is in the air. And so I'm working a lot on zone one. I can get her head down really low. And I'm working on her lowering her head when I take the halter off or put it on. And then I tried to groom her and she blew up again. And so I started over and then I tried to brush her mane and she blew up again and I had to start over. And And the funny thing is, I kept trying to get her to, and I'm using air quotes, join up with me, and I never thought she would. And she does. She joins up with me better in a small area rather than a larger area. And I was working with someone, I was talking to someone today, and they said, you just need to apply a little bit more pressure in the bigger area, get her going, and then release the pressure, bring her in. And it worked.
Right.
Yeah. So it was perfect.
If you get her feet moving and her exercising, she realizes soon enough. Like,
yes.
Well, if I stand near Sandy and it's quiet.
Yes.
It'll be safe.
Yes. Yeah. So I just wasn't pushing myself. Yeah, I was giving up thinking.
And have you ever done this before?
Never. This is my project horse, which is, I feel bad because I do feel that that's what he felt he was going to do. And it just didn't work out. And he does live far away. I got her in Palomino Valley. Isn't that funny? She's a Palomino.
Irony.
And she was in Palomino Valley. So we've been working really hard, and she's not green broke.
She's not green broke.
She's green.
She's just.
And I'm an old lady.
You're an old lady with a green horse. And
yes.
When I asked you if you've done this before, I was actually referring to Pirelli. I know you haven't. I'm your friend, and I know that you haven't had a green horse before, like a fully, totally green animal.
No.
And I was super excited for you to get this animal because I know you're ready.
Thank
you. If you don't feel like it, you are 100% ready to put your own horse on the sanding program.
Yeah. Thank you.
I feel like you have a program, even if you don't realize you do. And I think you've learned, obviously, that you do have a program.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I say program, like for all the listeners who aren't super savvy with, you know, training your own horses, I just mean that everyone has a system.
Whether you realize it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There is a way that you communicate with your animals. There's a way that you treat them, and they either learn to be with you or they don't.
Exactly.
And how successful your system slash program is just based on, are you able to get horses to do what you want and need?
Yes. I think the only thing I was surprised about was I do believe that he had her for at least 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that he was still having to catch her the way he did. And that there were a lot of things that she was not desensitized to. I know there's a better word for that.
She didn't know.
She didn't know. So, which on one hand is fine because it's really making me better.
It is. She's a blank slate. And if I could pick a horse for you.
Well,
blankish. She's blankish.
So I think that the disservice that was done by not asking a trainer to help is if you are unable to recognize certain signs, you're going to make things worse. And I was told that she was lassoed a lot.
So now she's got trauma.
She does have some trauma. And it's such a
causes physical.
And
right?
It's a bad word because
it's in her mind.
So negative. Yes. In her mind.
She was not okay with what was happening.
Yes.
So now she has all this fear in her head.
Yes.
Right. She's not a blank slate at all.
Right.
But in a big way, she is. Like, once you get past this, you're going to have an animal that is blank-ish.
Yes.
She's always going to have this trauma in her back pocket until you can do it 5,000 times.
Yes.
And nothing goes wrong for her.
Yes.
And you never lasso her.
Because I can, I told her, I don't know how to lasso you. But the thing is, when I got her in a good place where she was coming into me, one time I stood in the middle and I actually swung the rope above my head. All of a sudden she was on fire. That was total trigger. So I know that she did not care for lassoing.
And
lassoing is fine.
It is.
If you're doing it and then you're desensitizing them to the rope and what you're doing, because now if you put the headpiece part of the rope halter over her head, she doesn't like that up and around her ears. So we do a lot of work up there.
Cool.
We do a lot of work on her head throughout the day. And then at the end of the day, when I have more time, then I can take her now into the round pen and work with her on circling and grooming and brushing and things like that.
And when you're ready, you are going to be able to lasso her. Like at some point in her life. Truly,
I'm never going to lasso her.
I know that you're never going to, but it might be something that you want to do. It sounds silly, but if we're going to be camping and we're going to be doing all of these things together in our lifetime, it's kind of like that's what I'm going through with Armani. And I kind of figured it out this week that he gets sketched out when my heart rate goes up.
I deep breathe all the time. I will stand there with her with my hand on her head and I'll breathe like I'm having a baby. Well, that's what was so funny. When I first started circling her, I at one point was so tired, I had to reach into my pocket and get my phone to see what time it was because I was like, 15 minutes, no more than 15 minutes. And the minute I looked down at my phone and went like this, she turned into me and came to me.
Yeah, that was the first time she came into you.
And I thought it was the phone. I was like,
you relax.
It was me relaxing and looking away and taking that pressure off. Even though I didn't realize I was adding pressure, I was adding pressure. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that without what I've learned on my own and then what I've learned from Jessica watching you guys, I don't know that I would have recognized. I mean, initially, I thought it was the phone.
Right.
I'm like, the girl likes the phone.
Yeah. Correlation versus causation.
Exactly. And then I realized that, yeah. So let's talk a little. I mean, we'll come back to her
right.
and our journey, but this is also a shared episode. So the title of this episode is Two Old Ladies and Two Green Horses.
Because Armani is still green.
Yeah.
And him and I are trying to figure out our kinks. But one thing that I have figured out this past week, like as we're getting closer and closer to where he can be around me and I can be around him and he doesn't want to kill me. The thing that I've noticed this past week that I didn't notice before really is when my heart races, he gets scared, really scared, not just a little.
And what triggers your heart to race?
When I think he's going to kick me in the head. That's number one.
Yeah.
And then the other one is when I get afraid that he's going to hurt himself.
Mm.
But those two in the past week, I've noticed, and I need to talk to Jessica. So Jessica is a Pirelli trainer that we reached out to in the Valley, and she has been exceptional helping me with Armani. And then that's how you got involved with her as well, is because you've been watching me and Armani on our journey. And I think I look back to it, and it hasn't been a year with her yet.
No.
But she brought Armani from literally trying to bite me.
Right.
Through the fence, not just in his stall.
Right, right.
But he would bite at me. He never has actually bitten me.
Right.
But he would sort of do this lungy thing when I would go under the fence and he would get up in my face and I was very nervous.
Right.
He was going to bite my nose off because we've seen that at a barn.
We have. Yes.
We have seen that injury. And then I was also really afraid he was going to bite my hair. I know you were.
Yes.
That he was going to bite my braid and break my neck.
Yes.
So when I was about 6 months into owning him, I had kind of tried different things. And he was at a point where he was decompressing and living on my space. And I was getting to know him and he was getting to know me. But I was getting nowhere.
Right.
We were getting zero. And so I tried to do my normal striking stuff with him.
Yeah.
Because
you've broken many horses in your history.
Yeah. So even though I'm not a professional, I've broken 13 total so far.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know what you're doing.
I know what I'm doing.
The only difference between a professional and you is you don't get paid.
I don't get paid and I take longer.
That's not necessarily.
No. I do and I love it.
No, that's fine. But I'm saying even a professional knows to take... to take the time that it takes. I mean, I wouldn't lump that into whether that's whatever.
Professional clarifier.
Exactly. I feel like the only difference between you and a professional is you don't get paid.
I don't.
Yeah.
And so theoretically, he would be my 14th. And I can't think of whether or not I should actually classify him, but I think you're convincing me that I probably should.
You have to classify him as one because when you got him from the rescue, you were under the impression that this was a rideable horse.
I was, yeah.
Green broke.
I thought he was green broke.
Does any of this sound familiar to our listeners?
Isn't this the second time we've gone through this scenario?
Sounds
the same podcast?
It sounds so familiar.
It's what the ex-owner says versus what the horse tells you.
Exactly.
We all know that scenario.
Yeah. And so what is your, do we want to say this?
Like, yeah. What is our what the fuck
moment?
My what the fuck moment was just, what was I thinking? And that was about 6 months in. I had a what the fuck to myself.
Right.
What the fuck was I thinking? Yeah. How did I get this animal? Why did I get this animal? Who gets this animal? Oh, I do.
Right.
I get this animal. I've broken horses before. This horse is a hot fucking mess. And so when I realized that, and I'm just being honest, y'all, it took me a week. it took me a week from going from what the fuck am I going to do to,
right.
Oh, I am the person this animal needs because I'm going to find a solution.
Right.
And so I just reached out to my friend network of horse people, because I'm not kidding when I tell you that all of my friends became horse trainers but me.
Literally. Right, right.
All the girls I worked at the barn with, they all became trainers. So I reached out to my network and one of them told me to go Pirelli. And I am an old school person who grew up in the hunters and jumpers.
Yeah.
I went dressage. And I think that's a theme in a lot of hunter jumper
sure.
teenagers' lives. We go dressage. And I was going to try to train him in that vein.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I found Pearly the way I had to, which was the hard way with an animal that wanted to kill me.
Yeah.
And so then we found Jessica. And day one, I knew she was going to make a difference. And every single time she visits, which has now been probably about twice a month is our average.
Mm-hmm.
It is mind-blowing,
uh-huh.
and I need to let everybody know that the two old ladies are kicking ass over here.
Yeah.
And anyone who wants to, like, talk mad shit on the two old ladies who do Pirelli, you can bleep off. Because I am so tired of people in our industry. I'm getting mad right now. I am so tired of people in our industry, like, making fun of the older women who do Pirelli, who are like, oh, you're just going to wiggle the rope and the horse is going to do what you want. You know what?
Right.
Fucking wiggle that rope and that fucker backs up and doesn't eat my face.
Right.
Like, it's all about training and technique. And so right now, this is what I'm using. Will right. I always use this? Probably not to some degree. Yes. But I have, Sandy, like,
yeah.
I feel like we are the industry.
We are.
We spend so much money on our horses.
How many halters have I already bought? I saw a new halter when I was watching Monty Roberts. I was like, I gotta have that halter.
You bought two, girl.
I bought two and I can't use either one.
Nope. Two halters in 1 week?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like we have all this consumable money that we choose to spend on horses.
Correct.
And I feel like there's a huge section of us who just trail ride.
Right.
And here we are, a major part of the industry buying hay, supporting
right.
local farmers.
Right.
All these supplements, all of this tech. Like, think
right.
how many saddles we have between you and I.
Yes, I know.
So I'm just annoyed. Part of me is very annoyed because I am someone who has completely dedicated my life to horses.
Mm-hmm.
I am an exceptional rider.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an exceptional trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, bitches be cray on Facebook. And
oh my gosh.
Those are the old ladies that wiggle the rope. Hell yeah, I wiggle that rope and
yeah.
you can fuck right off.
Right.
I had to get that out. I had to get that out publicly.
You got it.
I feel early.
Take a breath.
I can't trigger myself.
Don't trigger. Well, and you know, the thing I find very interesting is, you know, natural horsemanship, whether you want to call it down under horsemanship, Pirelli, Monty Roberts, Chris Cox, you know, all of those, they are all very similar.
Because they're based on horse psychology.
They are.
And wonderful.
And I think that whatever anybody wants to choose it and commit yourself to it and run with it. And you'll be successful. I think consistency in time is, and that's the only thing that I believe Rhett really didn't have. He lived further away from where his horse was, and then he got hurt, and it just made it so hard. And then she really went untouched for the last 4 months.
But like when you do that to a child, right? Or you
right.
do it to like an orca whale,
right?
Like they're gonna go live their little lives, and
yeah.
they're gonna have their routines,
yeah.
And then they're not gonna like be enriched,
right?
So I don't actually think that she was abused. But in a way, when you neglect an animal's mind, they're not going to put the building blocks together
right.
that will carry them through life.
Right.
There's always going to be a deficit in our money
right.
until 7, 8, 9, 10 years has passed by.
And right.
he's finally going to be a horse that I can trust people with besides me.
Right.
But I honestly think it's going to take a decade.
Right.
I'm not exactly.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Yeah.
It's like anyone who has PTSD. Right. Sometimes it really does take a long time
yeah.
to get past something.
Well, and something that you and both Darlene have said to me is where you leave her is where you'll start off with her. Because sometimes I got sick. I didn't work with her for like 3 days. This past weekend, we had out-of-town guests. I didn't work with her for 3 days. I worked with her just today. And she literally was where I left her. So that being said, if Rhett left her 6 months ago with high anxiety and head up high on alert, that's where she was when he went back again.
Mm-hmm.
it makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
I just want to harken back to something that you said in our conversation. You said time and consistency of any program is going to yield you results. I'm summarizing what you said.
I was going to say, did I say that? That sounded great.
I did. I just want to point out that is your magic ingredient. Like as someone who's been in the horse industry for over 40 years now, because it's my birthday, come on up.
Yeah.
Time, consistency, love. That's what you're showing this animal. And it doesn't matter what program you're using. But Sandy, that's why you are so successful and your horses are so amazing.
Thank you.
Because you are someone who dedicates their life to horses. You dedicate your time and you don't keep moving forward. You are not someone who moves back and pauses. And if you pause, you go back to that same spot like you're
right,
saying.
Right.
And you try to move baby steps forward or big steps forward.
Right.
Honestly,
thank you.
Some of your big steps kind of scare me and get me out of my shell. So thank you.
Really?
Yes.
What big, give me an example. Like what big step did I make?
Like,
it's okay if I'm putting you on the spot and you can't think of anything.
I have a couple. But that one day when we took Armani on the trail.
Oh.
And he was not ready. And no. I was like, fuck it. Let's just do it.
Gave him to me. You gave him to me to ride. Yeah. I mean, to pony. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was nervous. And then on the way back, I just relaxed. And I relaxed into it. And I really built myself up onto going on that outing.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know what? She's right. Like, let's just go. Because he'd been on the trail before.
Yeah.
Now, looking back, it was too early.
It was.
I'm glad he didn't run away. That was definitely a potential.
It was.
But you know what? You push my envelope.
Well, good.
In so many good ways.
Oh, thank you. The funny thing is, well, it's not funny, but I am impressed with you because you have so much horse experience, yet you are humble enough to know I need to take a step back and ask for help. Because somebody in your position with your experience and time already with horses, a lot of the people like that would think they don't need help. And that they know what they're doing. And you know enough to take a step back and say, I need help. Yeah. So that shows me that even a person who has or just has more experience than myself can ask for help. So it tells me I need to ask for help. So you're welcome. You're welcome. And that's why I didn't even hesitate. Even Darlene said, Sandy, just know when to ask for help. Because her opinion matters to me as well. And I showed her the horse. And the minute she saw her lunging with that saddle on and her tail clamped down to her ass, she's like, Sandy, good luck.
Yeah.
Green,
not Greenbrook.
Yes. And she said, and I said to her, do you think I can do this? You know, I mean, am I biting off more than I can chew? Mm-hmm. And she said, Sandy, I do. I do think you can do this. Just know when to ask for help. Don't be afraid. Just know when to ask for help. And don't even feel like you have to put the first ride on her. Don't.
Oh, yeah. Especially as old women.
60 does not bounce off the ground like 20.
No, we find somebody else to do it.
I will.
I started somebody else putting on a first ride.
Do you think you'll do that with Armani?
With him, I think I actually might be riding him first, okay. Quote unquote.
Yeah.
Because I know he's been riding before.
That is true.
Yeah.
He was.
I don't think he's going to be shocked when I ride him because I can saddle him and it doesn't give him any worry at all. Zero.
Right.
So I think I might be doing, you know what? I'm going to wait until I get there.
And just see. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to say thank you for saying that because about me reaching out for help, because I think that's the true mark of a horse person,
mm-hmm.
right? Is being open to new suggestion, open to new ideas and knowing that I had deficits with this animal.
Right.
This particular animal.
Right.
I could not teach him and I could not figure him out. And I've been able to figure out some crazy horses,
right.
quote unquote, you know, and really help horses become citizens that we could all live with little kids and adults.
Yeah.
And I needed help, really. I knew I was going to get hurt. I knew I was out of my league,
uh-huh.
out of my depth, I should say.
Yeah, not league.
Yeah.
No. But depth.
Death.
With this animal.
With this particular.
See, and that is the key. Each animal is different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do all the stuff I do with Kaya. I don't have to do it to my other three horses.
No.
Although I probably should. Because sometimes when I go to put my hand on them, their heads go up. Mm-hmm. But I don't care.
Right.
Eventually they come down. Autumn is amazing. Her head goes down when I put a bit on her. Shooter's head goes down when I take his bridle off. Max is just amazing. They're such great horses.
Time and consistency.
Yeah.
That's why I say that you were ready for this animal, because
before I even realized it.
Before you realized it, you had time and consistency, and every single animal that you ever work with comes around.
Yeah.
And so I felt like you were ready to figure out the moving pieces of another horse's mind.
Yeah.
You have to meet them where they're at.
Yeah.
They're a lot like little kids.
And I've had to learn that even when I think I'm going slow, I need to go slower.
Slower.
And that is what Jessica taught me just recently.
Aww.
Yeah, it was great because I went to go catch her and I walked towards her and I knew I could walk up to her. She was standing still. I knew the sign and I knew I could go up and get her. And even though I could, and I know Jessica saw that I could, she told me to stop. She goes, stop right there. Look at her. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm approaching her at the height of her
anxiety.
I need to just stop and wait.
Yes.
I take a lot of deep breaths, a lot, and I make them loud. I do, and I do it for myself as well. And today, she was getting her feet looked at, and I needed to hold her for the farrier. And while I was holding her, I was taking deep breaths.
Good.
Just to kind of help her. And she did pretty well. I did ask if he wanted to sedate her. I would have been fine with it. And he said no. Cool. He said, I don't think this is a horse that needs sedation. She has a good mind. She catches on quickly. He was able to pick up all her feet. But the minute he went to put pressure on, like, holding it to do something is when she pulled away.
Okay.
And that's just something we'll just have to, you know, work on, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure how to work on that. I mean, I know the rope with the feet and all that stuff, but how do you mimic that pressure that a farrier is going to put on the foot or the snip or the sound?
So therein lies you becoming a trainer. Truly, you are becoming a trainer when you ask yourself that question.
Okay.
How do I mimic it? How could I take that mimicking and break it up into little tiniest parts, do that with her one step at a time, build a base so she's comfortable the whole time? You have just become a trainer because you put that thought in your head.
Oh.
How do I mimic
it? Aw, thank you.
And that's why horses are such a puzzle.
Yeah.
They're a puzzle that you have to unsolve and peel back.
Yeah.
And even if you start with a blank slate,
yeah,
you still have to break things down into bite-sized pieces.
Yeah.
But when you have these horses that have been traumatized, you have to take it back even into smaller, tinier pieces.
Yes.
And be ready to waste 80,000 times more than you think you're going to.
Yes. Well, just like her zone one, I keep coming back to her head. Because, and then my lovely husband, who had no problem with me getting her, which I'm still looking for something in the garage, because I swear he has bought something I'm not aware of, because he agreed to this new horse really easily.
That's why he's okay, because he went out and purchased something.
He asked me the other day, when do you think you'll put a saddle on her? I'm like, if you guys could see any emoji in your head, it's the one where the person has their hand over their head. Because I looked at him and I said, I can't even get a brush through her mane. And you're asking me about a saddle? Girl. No. And even though I saw her with a saddle in a video, I'm going to assume that was one time.
It was one time. The horse is telling us.
Yes. I think that's next on our docket.
What the horse tells you versus what the owner.
Previous owner tells you. And our horses are telling us we need to step back and go back to basics.
Yeah. That they were taken too far without their permission, without their comfortability.
Yes.
And without their comfortability, that's the same thing as consent in a really big way. Like, I don't want to put that word with it, but in a way it is. When you go against
They've been someone, violated.
Yeah, they've been emotionally violated in a way.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to minimize anyone who's gone.
Oh, no.
You and I both have been traumatized.
Exactly. No.
But it really is going against them. And if you've experienced that kind of trauma, you know that from then on, you're like actually triggered.
You are.
In that moment.
Yes.
And so that's how they feel in a really big way. And of course, I know horses aren't people. I'm not going to anthropomorphize.
No, no.
Horses, but how their brain works and how they process trauma and how they're going to put it in a little compartment.
Yeah.
In their brain forever.
Yeah.
They're going to put it in their brain.
Because they're prey animals and they have to remember what it is that kills them. So, yeah.
He got lots of triggers.
He does. But he has come so far. You've done such amazing work with him.
And that's what I think is I look back to me not being able to put a halter on him. Literally, like Jessica, I think I had to work with her for 3 weeks before I could halter him comfortably. So haltering, I could do. Picking up his feet now. He can stand. He saved the patient's pool today.
Yeah.
For, I don't know, a half hour.
Didn't the farrier come?
The farrier came yesterday.
Yeah.
He was actually better than my other horse. It's a totally broke mare.
Yeah.
But so there are all these little things that are working out for us.
Yeah.
That had I not gone to the Pirelli world, I 100% would have gotten broken legs, broken back, broken bones.
Sure.
I know this. And if it wasn't me that was broken, he would have a broken body and or I would have to ship him off
to someone else.
I would have had to give him back.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
So I think this is a good testament just for any of our listeners out there that are thinking about getting a greener horse than they're used to. You know, ask for help. Get a professional. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars on a trainer. I told Jessica, I don't know that I can afford more than maybe once or twice a month. And she comes out and she watches what I'm doing and she just tweaks it. And she gives me insight and she gives me other things to think about and to look for.
She gives you homework.
And she gives me homework. I feel my farrier doesn't know this, but I have assigned myself homework because my horses are usually on a 7-week schedule. And my homework for him is to make her a better horse for him the next time he comes. Because she's going to need it next time.
Yeah.
Obviously. Mm. And I'm going to make her a better horse for him.
And we can do it together.
Of course.
Because I think that was one of the first techniques that Jessica showed me.
Yeah.
Was how do I get my horse to be comfortable with his feet being handled?
Yeah.
Because the first time I tried to have him done, I thought he was going to kill my farrier. I'm not exaggerating.
I know.
He was not comfortable trying to even get near trimming him. All he did was take off that horse's old shoes.
Yeah.
He turned around and he said to me, this horse was drugged when he had those shoes put on. And I said,
and was that my farrier?
That was your farrier.
Yeah.
He said, there is no way this horse was done without drugs. And I said, I absolutely believe you. I think that that horse, he's so food motivated that every single thing the previous owner did must have been when that horse was eating.
Mm-hmm.
Away with a lot mm-hmm. because he is very food focused. More food focused than any horse I've ever met.
Right.
He has food in front of him. You can basically do anything with him.
Okay.
And then convince yourself that he's quote unquote trained.
Right.
And so I am positive they drugged him because he's very defensive.
Yeah.
About getting a shot in his neck. He knows.
Yeah.
When the vet came to do his teeth.
Yeah.
When the vet goes to like literally like hold the syringe.
He understands the position.
He understood, started rearing and backing up. And she said, oh, hell, this one knows. And it was within a split second. So we had to twitch him, halter him. And this was after I had worked with Jessica on getting him a shot because we knew we had to give him a shot because his teeth were so bad.
Right.
So I cannot say thank you enough to the Pirelli world and to Natural Horsemanship and just it being
and to Jessica.
Because when, yeah. And to Jessica. I mean, of course, to Jessica. Thank
of course. So yes. Yes, Jessica. Of course. Yeah.
If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be where I am. But I think one of the cool things I've noticed in the horse world is now we've got this generation, probably two generations of trainers now that have grown up with Pirelli as like the basis. Or you have like Chris Cox, or we have who's the guy?
But Clint Anderson. Yeah, or Buck Brannaman. Yeah,
you
were Monty Roberts.
So now you have these people that have grown up with horse psychology as their background,
yes.
as the basis of knowledge.
Yes,
and it's very scientific.
Yes,
and when you stand on the shoulders of other scientists, you only get better at your craft.
Yes,
right. And I feel like we're hitting this golden age of training, and we haven't even began to understand how it's going to affect us and our horses as we move forward.
And, you know, I wanted to also say, too, if anyone's listening and thinking about getting a horse like you and I that is green broke.
I have to laugh.
You know.
Are you sure?
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, there's that. However, Road to the horse.
Road to the
horse. I know we want to do an episode maybe next year and just commentate while we're watching it. Or go. That would be great. If you need to, like, learn, watch the last seasons of Road to the Horse. It's amazing. I knew about it, but I didn't really know about it until you, Darlene's told me a million times. I'm like, you know, she sends me links and I never have time. And I've started taking the time. And everything they have to do is everything I'm doing with Kaya. Everything.
Be with you, 100%.
I love it. Yep. I love it.
You want to see how to break a horse in a kind way? Those people.
I'm certainly not at those trainers' caliber.
Oh, no.
But I'm watching them. I'm watching them and I'm going, you know, technically, Kaya could be ridden in 3 days.
Technically, she could.
Not with me. Right.
Right.
Technically, if she was in that program, she'd be ridden in 3 days. It amazes me. It just amazes me that she actually has that in her.
The capability, the capacity.
To learn in 3 days to do that. That I just think is amazing. Same with Armani. I mean, if Armani was in that program and he had a trainer.
He could have been gentle in 3 days.
He would have been gentle in 3 days and he would saddle on him and he would, yep.
And those horses are horses that are coming off of a pasture.
Yes. Light. Yes. They're not Mustangs.
And well, even if
And this Road to the Horse was all fillies. They weren't colts.
Well, I don't even know if anything matters. I think that like...
Oh, I was just throwing that Mustang out there that it wasn't Mustangs. But I've noticed that in the Road to the Horses that I watched, they were all boys. They were all geldings. I'm like, what about the fillies? I'm like, come on. And this one had all fillies.
That's amazing.
I love it. I just loved it.
That's cool. But you're right. They're coming off of a pasture life.
Yeah.
And then you learn so much. If I could pick a horse, any horse ever, it's going to be a horse that lived in the wild or lived pasture life. Yeah. And then I get it as a baby and do exactly what those people are doing. I
mean, speaking of babies.
Are you going to cross this bridge right now? Are you going to put this in the universe?
I'm putting it in the universe.
Okay, tell us.
So I've had a couple people, including yourself and my farrier today, tell me I need to train her, ride her, and put a baby in her. Because she just is that pretty and that well put together.
She is. I think that we need to see how great her mind is.
Of course.
You love her.
We're talking at least 4 or 5 years from now. We're not talking next year.
Fully support you in your dream.
And my husband, because other people have been saying it, which is usually the key, he said, you know, everyone says we should put a baby in her. Maybe we should. And I said, really? Like, you'd be okay with that? And so we'll see.
That's so exciting.
That'll be another journey. That'll be another episode.
Yes. And I love that a versus is that your mind can think about them and imagine that future with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite things I do during my workday is I get these flashes. It sounds so weird, but my whole life I've been this way where I'll get the flashes of washing a certain part of a horse or cleaning a certain thing. Mm-hmm. And it gives me such satisfaction, which is so weird.
Yeah. Well, you're weird.
I know, but it's true.
It's okay though. Yeah, I love you.
It gives us like, what's the word? It's like a loving entertainment. Like, I think it's in the zone. I get in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that is the secret to longevity. Is when people reach that zone.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what they call it.
I don't know.
It's artists. Artists do it when they get in the zone of their art, or athletes do it. When you can bring your mental state into that zone, that people who do that on a regular basis, it's almost like a meditative state. Mm-hmm. I literally do that almost all day long. Thinking about cleaning parts. So weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah. Well, she has given me reason to get up from my desk and take a break. I have a tendency to work straight through at the computer. And she actually, I think about her all day. And I think, okay, I need to go out there and give her 15 minutes. And then I'll go out there and give her 15 minutes and I'll come in and I feel really refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit down and I work for another couple hours and I go and I give her another 15 minutes. And yeah, and I feed them all day long. I swear, these horses, they act like they're so starving and they're not. That's all I do is feed them. The last time I feed them is about 6 or 7 o'clock at night. And then you figure it takes them about an hour to eat. So they probably have food in them for another hour after that. So the longest they go, let's just say, is maybe 9 to 6 in the morning. And they sleep a lot. I have a camera out in my arena and I see Max and Shooter laying down all the time. Max is, Shooter is such an asshole. I actually watched him. Max was sleeping. Shooter walks over to him, puts his ears back, does that little thing. Poor Max gets up, and with his short little legs, he gets himself up, and he walks away, and Shooter lays down in his spot. I'm like, you're such an ass. Like, in order. That is such, what, you have the whole arena.
No, that's the best spot.
That was his spot.
Mm-hmm.
They're such assholes. They are.
I know. They're so wonderful.
Well, do you have anything else to share or bring up that we haven't mentioned?
No, I feel like we covered the what the fucks.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing.
And the horses will tell us something different than what the owner says every time.
Yes.
That is the moral of the story.
It is.
So every horse is an individual. And even if the owner is right in what they're saying, it doesn't matter. Because the horse is going to have their version, and that's who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
That's who you're training up. That's who you're loving. That's who you're trying to help.
And a lot of owners out there have the best intentions. They're not drugging their horses. Oh. You know, when you go to pick them up, they're not lying to you. They're giving you their version, what their perception is. I want to emphasize that, because her previous owner, super person, very loving, you know, I'm
intention.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm excited to show him how she is at the end of the day, because it's what he wanted for her.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what we want.
And I'm able to give it to her, which was something that, you know, given his situation, he was unable to do. So I'm really happy that I'm able to do it. And I told him, I said, when she is rideable and you're feeling better, you can absolutely ride her.
You're wonderful.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for our fantastic chat.
Yes, yes. On our new platform, Horse Radio Network. We're so excited to be here. And thank you to everyone who's already listened to all of our previous episodes. And our episode with Matt Mills has gotten the highest count of downloads. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
Yes, and thank you to our listeners that have migrated from our previous platform.
Yes.
To HRN.
Yes.
We are so happy to have you. We are beyond stoked.
And we're
Pastor Project.
I know.
Tuning into something so fun.
I know. And we were so happy to be here. So thank you to Horse Radio Network. And I also want to say, too, thank you to Buzzsprout. They were the ones that we started with, and we transitioned over from them, because Horse Radio Network is the largest equine podcast platform, and that's where we knew our home eventually was going to be.
We did. It was our dream.
Yeah, it was.
It was our big dream, and here we are.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you so much.
Hey, friend.
Okay, I love you.
I love you.
Jules.
Hey, friends. That's the end of today's ride. We hope you enjoyed listening. Don't forget to follow Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave us a review, share us with a friend, and saddle up with us next time as we ride through more stories, questions, and our wild tangents. Till then, friends, keep your boots dusty and your hard hats on. We hope to see you out on the trail.
Dandy and Kara, stirrups swinging free, talking about life and love and mystery. From coyotes to coffee, they'll cover it all with the sagebrush blowing and the wild bird's call. So cinch up your boots, we're hitting the track. Saddle Talk's on and we're not looking back.